Anyway, I had to go to County Lockup, 30 days, and I got out. And my friends, like any good military friend should do, said, "You want to like pay rent or get food? No, let's throw a party and invite whores and have a gangbang."
Hey, welcome back to Four for the Road, everybody. I'm your host, Snafu, not punk rock. And
you don't know how many takes we had to do with him saying punk rock.
It's a habit. That's what I got. But hey, so I finally live in Virginia, and I'm able to record with Drifter like this, which is fucking weird. I'm used to just seeing him as like a poorly lit, poorly done screen in the middle over there.
I'm technically challenged.
Yes. Technically, he is challenged.
Technically.
But hey, so we were thinking about how to get back into this stuff, right? Try to talk about, you know, different ways to approach getting back into the show. We just said, well, let's just start from the beginning, which I thought meant, hey, let's re-record all our old episodes. That was not the case. So he meant start from the beginning, like you're a new guy that likes the idea of the motorcycle club culture, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you're sitting in your living room thinking about, hey, that's what's this motorcycle club business? I don't even know motorcycle clubs, but I'm kind of interested. What do you do? How do you get started?
Well, first, you have to buy a gun.
No, you got to run guns out of Northern Ireland.
No. You get there, right? But you have to buy guns, and you have to beat women.
This sounds expensive.
It does, dude. The jail time alone is going to be fucking crazy. But no, you know, I think first step is you got to ride. And I would suggest not within the first like year of you riding, you know, because you need to be comfortable with yourself first on your motorcycle. You need to know how it's going to react in certain situations, stuff like that, especially when you're riding in a group, because depending on how your club rides, you know, you might be riding handlebar to handlebar.
At 90.
Allegedly.
Well, you got to
allegedly. And if you don't know how to ride, you're just a liability at that point. I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything like that, but let's just call a spade, you know what I mean? But what do you think? So you learn how to ride your motorcycle. You're very confident on it. Been riding it for a year or more.
Sure.
And then you watch Sons of Anarchy and you're like, you know what?
Then you're in there. You know everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Now, so this is geared for that guy. You know, he's heard about motorcycle clubs. He likes the idea of riding with other guys. You know, he rides by himself. And we have a lot of, you know, articles and that stuff about what to do as a prospect, what to do when you're looking at a club. But I think the first step is you got to find that club.
And it's difficult.
Depending on where you are, it can be very difficult.
And I honestly, I don't know what that search is like. Because it was no secret. I was part of a club when I was in California. And I just kind of ran into those guys at a bar. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, hey, these guys are cool. Like, I like hanging out with them and stuff like that. Got a phone number, and then that was it. Mm-hmm. And then the club I'm in now, you actually introduced me to them. So it's his fault.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
You
I
totally did. Forgot it was, that. It was, and I'll tell the story. I'll tell the condensed story.
So Yorktown, man, I'm really sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. I was probably drunk, so I'm sorry.
So, well, he was drunk for a long time because this was, like, all in the works. I was stationed in Jacksonville, Florida, and I came up here because I have family, we'll just say west of Williamsburg. And, you know, I know he lives up here. So I was like, hey, man, I'm going to be kind of close. It'd be kind of cool to meet you in person for the first time. And
way back when,
the first time that I've ever met this man in person, you know, he told me, he's like, hey, when you come up, bring a leather jacket because it's going to be cold. Bring a helmet. I was like, well, I don't have a bike that I'm bringing up there. I'm riding up there with my family in a car. And he's like, yeah, cool. Bring that shit. So I brought that shit. And I'm the second person to ever ride his Indian Dark Horse. And I'm still honored by that. But he took me down Colonial Parkway, which was absolutely beautiful. We stopped at this little country bar, we'll call it. And and it was flooded with members of my club. And I said, I just had a great time. Made some friends, we kept in contact. And then when I ended up getting stationed up here, it was just kind of, like through the natural progression of how things happen, is where I ended up.
So you kind of fell into finding a club. Yeah. You had somebody introduce you kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
What about that guy that's sitting in his living room right now, listening to us jabber on, and he says to himself, "I ain't no fucking clubs around here, man. What do I do?"
I think you need to look and you need to take a lot of self inventory first. I think
ain't nobody want to hear about that.
I know. But
they just want the quick, down and easy answer, which there isn't.
But. There is. Yeah, that doesn't exist. But you really do have to take some self inventory, I think, and figure out who you are as a man. And you know what your morals, what your values are.
You're getting deep into this. This guy just wants to ride with some friends.
Well, then he should just go to his local Harley-Davidson dealer and join the hog chapter.
All right. Now we're getting to it.
You know, but if you like the idea of motorcycle clubs and what that entails, then, you know, you need to know who you are as a man, at least a little bit, before you get into it.
So what do you mean by that? So the guy's saying to himself, okay, well, I'm a hardworking dude. Got a good family, honest, you know, I handle my bills. I handle myself. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got that. I know who I am.
Okay, cool. Well, what are your morals? What are your hard goes and no goes? Right. Are there identifying characteristics about a man that are requirements for membership? Is that something that you're willing to compromise on?
So is like, that, you gotta have a certain brand of motorcycle.
You gotta have a certain brand of motorcycle. You know, if you're riding a Yamaha, you're obviously not going to join a club where, you know, they require you to be on a Harley Davidson or an American manufacturer. Are you a religious man and you want to join a religious club? Because those are out there.
Some hard charging religious clubs out there too. Oh, exactly. And not just Christian. There's Jewish. I know there's a Sikh club.
I was going to say there's a Sikh club out there.
Those motherfuckers ride, dude.
They not only are they, dude, and they're, I ran into one of them in the Newark
Sikh airport.
Yeah. And he was, I was able to spend like, you know, it was like 15, 20 minutes with him. Yeah. But he was just a really cool dude. I was wearing one of my club's hoodies and he was just like, "Hey, man, are you a?" I was like, "Yeah, that's me." He's like, "Hey, dude, it's fucking nice to meet you." I was like, "Oh, shit." Oh, right. Yeah, just awesome, dude. Anyways, getting off topic here, but
that's what we do.
Yeah, that happens. You'll have that on in big jobs. But yeah, just find out who you are as a man, what you want out of the club, and what you're willing to give to the club. Because not everybody's 100% look the same, and that's absolutely okay. That's fine, but. If that club is going to require more than what your 100% is,
there you go.
That's not your club. Yeah. You know, using my club as an example, if there's a guy that's able to come out one day a week, maybe twice a month, that's probably not going to be a good fit for him. Because we take the family aspect of it very seriously. These are my brothers. And if I'm not physically riding with them, I'm probably texting with them in the group chat, talking shit, you know what I mean? And, you know, we're together a lot. And for the guy that's able to show up twice a month, we're probably not a really good fit for him. And again, that's okay. That's no disrespect to him. But maybe look for a club that's a little more slower speed, lower paced, you know, the requirements are.
Yeah, we're still jumping the gun, though. How's the guy going to find this club? And I'll tell you.
Google that shit.
Yeah, that's where I was going. You know, older clubs, you know, like both of our clubs are really old, but older clubs.
Who do you call them old?
You fucker. But
you got way more gray in your beard than I do.
No, that's distinguished. There's a difference. So you talk about these established clubs,
okay,
and they're very adamant, you know, we don't recruit, we don't do this, and fuck online this and fuck online that, and I get it. Yeah. I started riding in the 70s, believe it or not. I'm that old. But yeah, I get it. But you know what, you got a young guy in his 20s and he's looking for something, he's not gonna go up and ask you. He's immediately gonna go to Google and he's gonna look it up. He's gonna see your club patch somewhere, and he's going to go right to Google and look it up.
Yeah.
So it behooves, and there's a special word just for you. Wow. It behooves a club.
All right, Chief.
To have retired Navy Chief.
So,
who are you talking? Hooah. Fucking army shit.
So
it's pronounced hoo-yah.
Okay, first off, that's gay. Second,
fucking CBs want to be Marines.
I'm not gonna tell this joke. I don't know. Ah, fuck it. So I don't even think I was a hanger on. I was a guest, and I met a booze fighter, and we were kind of talking shit back and forth. Found out I was in the Navy. He's, you know, did his service rivalry thing.
Sure.
I was like, hey man, you know. I was thinking to myself, I was like, fuck, do I send this shot? Do I not? Do I do it? Do I not?
Of course
you do. I said, fuck it, dude, full send. I was like, hey, man, so you know how in the CBs we say hoorah? He's like, yeah. He's like, cool. So, like, how do you say hoorah with a cock in your mouth? He's like, how? I was like, hoo? And he just kind of looked at me like, all right, man.
You know, we're going to get hate mail from all the Army dudes now.
That's fine. That's Drifter, D-R-I.
So anyway, back to the topic at hand.
So you Google that shit.
Guys, these young guys, they're going to Google it. They're going to figure out who you are and what kind of presence you have online. And then they're going to make the decision based on that if they want to go further. So I'm not saying put club business out there. Of course you don't want to do that. But you got to be out there.
I slightly agree. Well, I agree with like putting yourself out there,
mm-hmm.
right? I think there's a lot of clubs out there that have merchandise for sale, like support clothes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Have that kind of presence. And I'm with you. Absolutely. Do not put club business out there.
No.
You know, you're not putting on Facebook and tagging all your members. All right, guys, we have church at this time at this location.
Just a way to contact you.
Yeah. Just, hey, here's a contact. And I would recommend also for our guys out there that are maybe setting something up like that, just get a club email set up. Just put your personal email out there. But yeah. And I didn't want to say Google it, but that's.
No. So that guy,
we live in 2024. It's
going to
happen.
That guy sitting in his living room, I promise, even if he doesn't see a patch out there, he's going to type in motorcycle club and then the name of the town he's living in just to see what pops up.
I also have known a few people to just type in like Google motorcycle clubs in my area.
Yeah, same thing.
And, you know, mm-hmm. and then you go down the rabbit hole that way. And that's honestly, I don't see an issue with that. I know some of our more experienced riders will probably be against that.
And
but,
I get it.
But that's just a starting point, right?
You got to change. Yeah, it's just an introduction.
It's like this guy's not prospecting over the internet. Like he's
well, there are some cases that some people, you know,
but well,
we won't go down that route.
No, probably not. We need to be nice. Right? We're just getting settled back in here.
Yeah, yeah. Let's make this a nice episode.
Double barrel still collecting dust in the garage, all right?
No fires.
So that's just the starting point, right? It's like, okay, cool. Exactly. I'm Googling, you know, fucking Drifters Club, right? What club are you in?
I think you know. We're cousins.
So,
oh shit, that's right.
We are. I'm just playing. So I Google, okay, 13 Rebels in my area. And then nothing pops up. It's like, fuck, okay, well, 13 Rebels. And then something will come up somewhat close to me. In fact, you did that.
I did what?
You like hunted your club down.
Yeah. So whenever I wanted to get it, I wanted to know this because I'm a motorcycle history nerd. I was a fucking hound dog with this shit. I chased these motherfuckers down. Finally found the guys, and the rest was history from then on. I was fucking tied to it from then on.
Man, see, and that's the way to go. He did his research, and don't get me wrong, like there is something beautiful about that organic, like stars aligned kind of happenstance where like you just happen to be at this bar or at this dealership or, you know, something. And then you run into a club guy, you have a positive interaction with the guy and, you know, for some reason, he either says, hey, man, like, meet me back here on this day at this time, and, you know, we'll catch up. We'll have another couple beers or something. Or, hey, here's my phone number. You know, give me a call. Like, we'll go riding together. There is something beautiful about that. But also at the end of the day, like, we do have to remember we're in 2024, right? There's got to be a starting point somewhere, because not everybody is like, look, like, to be honest, me, I probably never would have walked into that bar where I'm at my club. I probably wouldn't. It's not my scene. It's very much kind of like a country bar, and I'm not. But I fell in love with this little place because that's where the people that I want to surround myself congregate. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And, you know, had I just been relying on the stars aligning, I would have missed that completely.
So, but that's the second
I was blessed with the introduction.
Once you find something that you're interested in as a new guy, you can't be shy. You reach out. It's up to you. Remember, you're trying to join that family. They're not trying to join you. So it's up to you. It's incumbent upon you to reach out, introduce yourself. And when you go to these events to see them, man, don't stand in the corner waiting for people to come talk to you. You got to go talk to people. You know, as uncomfortable as that is for a lot of people, you got to get out of your shell. You got to do that so that the club can get to know you and you can get to know them. Trust me, it is most definitely worth the process. It's worth getting out of your shell and meeting the club that could end up being who you're riding with. These people become your family, and it's a chosen family. It's not born into family.
Absolutely. I think when prospecting is done right, you create that bond. Because you will see some clubs out there that don't, I don't want to say they don't do it correctly, but I think that's really the only way to say it for the point, is if you got a lot of guys that are just willing to drop their colors, or they're not willing to stand for what they believe in, and if they don't believe in the club, then you're not prospecting these people right.
Yeah.
But when it's done right, on both sides, you know, the prospect's taking it seriously and the club's taking it seriously, and they're working together towards a common goal.
Which then we get into the flip side of this.
Yep. So I knew that was coming.
If you're a club guy, your club, you better have a plan. Okay. So you got a new guy. He came in through your website, or he just walked up to you on the street, right? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't seem like an asshole. Seems like somebody, okay, I don't know nothing about him, but he, no red flags, right?
Okay.
Okay, what's your plan? Club, do you have somebody, he's not a prospect, so he doesn't have a sponsor, but do you have a POC? Somebody that's going to stay in touch with this guy that, you know, he can call and say, hey, when are we meeting, or what can I do?
I think...
all I'm saying is you got to have a plan.
And there's so many people that come in and out of the club life, right? So, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure your club goes through it too, right? We're not hard people to find.
Right. Well, we're kind of hard to find. That's on purpose, but.
You know what I mean.
I do.
You know, like, our clubs are not hard to find. And when you're coming up, you know, really depending on, like, what area you're in, you know, you Google motorcycle clubs in our area, one of our two clubs is going to pop up. It's going to happen.
In this area, for sure, yeah.
And there's so many people, so many new riders that are, well, I have a motorcycle, I should be in a motorcycle club because I golf and I joined a golf club. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then they come in, they want to hang out, and it's just like, yeah, cool, dude, here's my number. Like, you know, give me a shout, fucking whatever. And then I never see him again. I'm not going to pour into that guy.
We run into that as well. Exactly. And I'm not, when I say plan, I'm not saying that you dedicate resources. All really is that guy knows how to find out about the future events. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I want to, like, I will say for me, I have no problem giving my phone number out to people. Cause I could just block a motherfucker. You know what I mean? But I don't hear from you, or I don't like you, or like you give me weird vibes later on down the road. I just block you. Fucking right, Jeff.
Until they start ordering pizzas with your number.
But But you know, if like there's a if there's a guy that comes up says, hey man, like I've been really looking for something more and blah blah blah. Like I was wondering if I can kind of pick your brain about it a little bit. Like, yeah, dude, here's my number. And then I want to see what kind of like if you're serious about it, you're gonna hit me up.
That's very true. That's a good
and
point.
You need to hit me up and be like, hey, so and so, snafu, like, can I meet you over here for beers or can I meet you over here and grab lunch?
Proactive.
And
get out of your shell.
All right, cool. Right. Now you're kind of on my radar now. I want to see more of that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I got a shit memory. So
but see, the plan was you gave him your number.
Yeah.
So he had a contact him.
Yeah.
But he had some way to get hold of the club.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
that's
we
all I'm saying.
And then we see what kind of tenacity the young man's got from there.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, man.
And then you buy a bagger so you can fit more drugs and more guns.
And move to Northern Ireland where you're going to sell all that shit.
Yeah, that is the that is one thing I wish somebody would prepare me for.
What's that?
Is just the giant common misconceptions. Like everybody's a gang member, everybody's this.
You're
going
to have to share your wife.
Oh, that's another big one.
Yeah.
Is like, oh yeah. You know.
Cut that out. Yeah, we should cut that out.
Wow.
Yeah, that was not
Timothy.
Not good.
But it's true, goddammit.
You know it. Who's trying to contact me here? I'm gonna change the subject.
Oh my god. I'm not even I'm gonna do such a intentional, horrible editing job on that. Cause I just want you guys to know. The guy that usually keeps me in line just said the most out-of-pocket shit.
I have no idea what he
that cannot, for his safety, be put out there.
It's my own business.
That was so good, though.
I'm renewing my AARP membership.
Ah, man, he doesn't want to fight.
No.
So anyways. There's a lot of common misconceptions that we're all like.
How do you share wives?
Gang member. You have to share your wife with the club and all that stuff. Absolutely not true.
Yeah, stop watching those old B movies from the 60s.
100%, man. That's the thing I wish people would have prepared me for.
What? That's like, not true? Or that people are going to come to you? And think it's true.
That people are going to come to me and think it's true.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can't tell you how many times, like, I've had, like, some brazen lady come up and be like, so how many people do you have to kill to get in?
Oh, there's all kinds of
super. Oh, I got so sick of that, like, because it happened rather frequently for, like, a week. And finally, like, towards the end of it, I was just, like, three of them and two of them had to be babies. Like I yeah.
The worst.
Like, why would you do that? Like, why would you come up to a stranger and ask that?
They do that, but yeah. So you get the tough guys that see that you're in a club and they come. We were talking about this earlier. You know, the tough guys come up and like they gotta test themselves against club guy, bad biker. But really, I think the worst are the drunk girlfriends of non-club guys. They're hanging around, and at first it's like they're kind of joking, and some of the club guys will laugh. Oh, that was funny. But then she thinks she's in, and then. Her jokes turn into insults and she's sloppy drunk. And next thing you know, we're looking at her boyfriend going, you better handle your business or we're going to handle you.
Yeah. That's the one of the line one of my brothers gave me. And it's just like, it's in my pocket. But is you look at the guy and be like, hey man, your girlfriend's about to get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
And you know, hopefully I don't ever have to fucking use that, but goddamn, it's gonna be funny when it comes out. You know what I mean?
It very rarely gets to that point because most guys, you know, they see that things are getting out of hand. But
well, that
and clubs aren't about that. Don't get us wrong. We're not going down that road.
Yeah, but that and like, I mean, I can only speak for me. I would never speak for my brothers. I would never speak for my club.
Same here.
But. Like, speaking just for me, like, one, I'm going to tell you right now, somebody out there, they're going to whoop my ass. I'm not the biggest, baddest motherfucker running around here. I'm not Mike Tyson mixed with Muhammad Ali with Conor McGregor's arrogance. You know what I mean?
I think I know that guy.
I know that guy too.
So we're getting off topic, man.
But I'm not Superman. And like these other dudes that get fucking hammered, they want to be Superman. It's like, all right, dude, like I'm still going to try to de-escalate this because like I still like I don't want to fight. Like, dude, I'm 35. Like, it takes more time to recover from a 35. Fight. Shut up.
Whatever, dude.
It takes more time to recover from an altercation than it does minor surgery. You know what I mean?
So to bring it back around, what you said, you got to be honest with yourself before you start looking at clubs. If you're the kind of guy that likes to fight, okay, there are clubs for that.
Sure. Fight clubs. And we don't talk about those.
First rule. But just know that motorcycle clubs are honor-based society. So if you go around and you like to fight, okay, shit talk comes with that.
Yeah.
Nobody needs that. Nobody wants that.
No.
But anyway.
And yeah, I'm
completely off topic again.
Yeah. But see, I mean, but that's the thing. If you're that new guy, right? Because like I said, I'm not a big fan of violence. I'm not even sure I'm capable of doing it well. But if, you know, but I'm not afraid to get punched in the mouth, you know, especially if it's for something I said or did, you know, but are you the kind of man that is legitimately willing to stand up for somebody, especially in our culture where we adapt the idea that your brother's never wrong in public.
Which is hard to do.
Which is hard to do. Like you can look at yourself and be like, no, he shouldn't have said this. And then he followed it up with that, which he shouldn't have done. And then he followed it up with this third thing that he shouldn't have done. But at the end of the day, this dude's starting shit with my brother. I have my brother's back. Even though he's, by society standards, 100% in the wrong, you got to back him up as if he's not. You handle that later. But, you know, are you willing to do that? And that will also determine what kind of club that you really should be looking for. Are you looking for like a little mom and pop club that likes to, you know, like you're about it, but you know, you're just this small nucleus. You're not a nation. You don't have multiple chapters. Are you looking for a riding club? Are you just looking for friends to ride with? Cause there's plenty of awesome riding clubs out there that don't pretend that there's something that they're not. There's plenty of motorcycle associations out there. For any flavor of human, whether they're veterans, they're religious people, they're survivors of cancer, they're survivors of assault. There's so many different kind of clubs out there. And I think that those aren't highlighted, right? That's not like real public information.
Oh, I love riding clubs,
dude. And dude, they're great for those people. You know what I mean?
For what they do, absolutely.
For the guy that wants to get out there, he wants to ride, you know, go hang out maybe Friday night, maybe kind of sometimes ride Saturday and Sunday. Those are great for those people. You know what I mean? And I think people come to clubs like ours where the requirements are not sometimes kind of maybe, where they, you are, you aren't, right? And that puts a sour taste in their mouth because they had that expectation of what like a riding club offers. And then they come to a more serious club and it's like,
yeah, I think it's a level of family. So I think our clubs are like families. So it's a little different and that's fine. I mean, if you can't commit to that, that's no issue at all. A lot of people start out in riding clubs and affiliate clubs, you know, like the Gold Wing Riders or whatever it is, brand specific, you know,
don't buy Hondas
and the Gold Wing Riders. They ride their asses off, dude. Fucking everywhere. But anyway, stop mean mugging.
Want a beer?
Yeah,
sure. Grab another.
So now that he's gone, let me tell you, this guy, who the fuck's up with this guy? Anyway.
Got the smallest dick.
So they start off as a riding club, a riding group. A guy will start off that and get used to it, like what he sees there, but wants to move up to something that's more involved. And that's, you know, we get a lot of guys in motorcycle clubs that used to be in these riding associations, and that's perfectly fine. It's a great way to test the waters.
Yeah.
Do you have opinions?
Nope. I agree with everything you just said. But again, it goes back to taking stock and being honest with yourself about what you are.
Who you is.
Who you is as a dude. And then who you want to be surrounded with. Stuff like that, right? Because... But also, don't be afraid. Like, I would say, don't be afraid to get to know clubs at all. Because, like, there's a very common misconception with my club. And I wrote about it, right? That you were either a sober club.
Because of the name.
Because of the name.
The name is confusing. I will admit that. It can well, be taken
for,
either way.
Well, for simple people, I understand how that could be confusing. But... It would have been funnier if you actually hit me. But
next time.
Next time. So but like people think that like rather a sober club or you know, they do their due diligence, they look us up, maybe they read some literature and they're like, oh wow, these guys like you have to partake in certain beverages and activities to be a part of this club, which is absolutely not true.
All they have to do is see your tagline, your unofficial motto.
Yeah.
Drinking club with a motorcycle problem.
There's that. you know, but like drinking is not a requirement for membership. You know, not getting fucking obliterated is not, I don't get me wrong, I love a good rager. You know what I mean? But I don't, like, I'm not like, before I get out of pocket, I don't mind drinking a lot. But I also have brothers who are sober, mm-hmm. or clean and sober, and I celebrate the fuck out of those guys because they're men being men, saying, hey, look, I'm controlling this now, and I'm not going to let it control my life because at one point I let it get out of hand. And those are brothers that, like, when they come to the clubhouse, mm-hmm. I put my beer away, and I'm drinking Cokes with them. You know what I mean?
Right on.
And it's just like, that's my way of saying, hey, man, like, I see what you're doing and I love you. I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. And I support you.
Well, that goes back to being family.
100%. But
all right. So we got our guy. He rides a lot now. He's looking for clubs. He sees them and he knows not to be shy. Get out of his shell. Go and introduce himself.
Yep.
All he does an online search. However, so what's he supposed to like? Okay, here you go.
Yeah.
He found something. He saw a patch. He looked them up. They have a website. And now he can write to them, send them a message.
Okay.
What's he going to say?
I would just say, hey, my name's Jim. I love huge, fat, sweaty wieners. And no, just, I mean, if it... if they have a website, I would say, you know, just fucking one. I don't think a lot of people, and this is like a fucking do better. I don't think a lot of guys monitor the email that the website's connected to. So do better. But you know, Joe Schmo's writing in. I was just like, hey, I'm Joe. I found you guys and I was trying to, you know, fucking just kind of come around and see what you guys are about. I was wondering if I could get in contact with somebody to maybe hang out with and, you know, meet up and have a couple beers, you know?
That's perfect. See how he didn't go into this long diatribe of, I was born a poor black child, blah, 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 blah. I was this and I was that and I'm going to do this and I want to do this and keep it simple. This is me. I saw you guys out and about or heard about you guys. Like to get to know more. And that's it.
Yeah.
How can we meet up? Yeah. And remember,
no cops.
So all this needs to be, that's just the introduction. The questions and the get to know yous, that's never done online. Mm-mm. That's face to face. So that whole online presence is just to get the introduction. That's yeah. it. The rest, because, you know, this is a family. So you're not going to pick a family over the internet. You got to go and you got to meet, you got to get out of shell and you got to talk to these guys.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
And don't get me wrong. There's definitely something to be said for creating bonds over the internet, right? Because, I mean, this is a perfect example right here, right? Never met this man, day in my life. I think we've been working together for like a year or two.
That's because you live in another part of the country.
Yeah. But like I had this bond, I already felt like I knew you.
Yeah.
By the time.
But you weren't trying to join the club.
I was trying to join that page.
That's true.
Motherfucker. But
how'd you hear about 4-4-0?
I think some fat dude in Florida told me about it.
All right.
I think he moved somewhere north.
That guy?
Jackass.
The one who shall not be named.
Yeah.
He's dead. But if you're listening, get your ass back over here.
Oh, no. I was talking about this guy.
No. Jackass.
That's how I heard about 4-4-0.
No, how did how did fucking punk rock hear about it?
He fucking made it.
No, how did you hear about the page? You didn't just auto. So 4-4-0 started out as a podcast and a place to park the podcast.
3-4-0.
Yeah, it started out as 3-4-0, to be honest. But you were writing on that other page.
Yeah.
With us. How did you? Oh yeah. So I guess my question was not phrased very well.
Yeah, motherfucker.
How did you find out about us writers?
I think so. That page that I initially found y'all on was like the standard for like open air, like history, tradition, and protocol discussions, right? And a club that I was hanging out with at the time said, hey man, this will give you kind of a jump start, like kind of a head start on learning all this stuff. You should follow it. So I did, and I really liked the articles. I loved the stories. And honestly, it was you and Andar, Dave, that really like made it for me. And you know, I love reading your stories. I love reading his history pieces. Your history pieces need some work.
Yeah, I've always said that.
But you're also writing it from memory, not research. So I get it. You know,
well, when you were there, you were there.
You were there. You know, and then I remember seeing a couple guest articles. I was like, man, I wonder how you get a guest article published, because I got some shit I want to say.
Yeah.
And I remember I wrote in, and I think it was Blade wrote me back and said, hey, fucking, this is how you do it. So okay, cool. I did it, and I kept doing it. And then I kind of stopped for a little while.
Yeah.
And then that's when Blade came up to me at a COC meeting. He was like, hey, man, fucking where you been at? I was like, what do you mean? What? Because I didn't know that he was that Blade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because look, a lot of road names get reused in different clubs and stuff like that.
What's that, Tiny?
Huh?
What's that, Tiny?
Tiny, Lucky, Drifter.
No, there's only one, goddammit.
But yeah, he kind of was like, hey, like, I'm Cornelius Kane, fucking blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Oh, shit, okay, cool. And then I got back at it. And, you know, because I look up to him. And he told me kind of get back at it, so I got back at it. And eventually he called me one day. He's like, hey, man, I want to have lunch with you. And we went out, we had lunch. And he's like, hey, man, so, like, we're kind of, you know, operating a spot on the page. You want it? So, fuck yeah.
He brought me into it also. So same thing. I saw the page, that other page that we used to be on, and kind of liked what I read. There was no other place that I was getting that. And it was not because of the page, but because of the writers who all left. And we all started 4-4-0, by the way. So I started out doing a guest article. I did one or two of those, and then I did the story, Road to NOLA. I don't know. That's the one, the guy's on his way to New Orleans, and he stops. So I wrote that short story, and Professor Blade read it and said, look, I love this. I'm going to cut it into two because it's too long just for the page. So he published the first one in the morning and the second one in the afternoon. And I remember reading about it, and I was so proud, you know, ooh, I'm published now. Ooh,
and you're like watching the likes.
I'm looking at the likes and I'm reading all the comments. And one guy said, and I'll never forget this, man, because it really hit me. Like he said, basically he said, this fucking drifter guy's got me crying in the Harley Davidson parking lot. God damn it. And that was part one. So now I got to wait here for part two.
And that's a powerful story.
Yeah. And then he said, you guys need to get him as a staff writer. And then I saw Professor Blake come in. Yeah, we're trying. We're going to get him. Don't worry. So that's how I got it.
I don't think anybody, I don't recall any comments about like, oh, fuck, this dude needs to be on staff. It was, mine were all just like, hell yeah, brother. Amen. This.
The hell yeah, brother. You know, yeah. So when you guys come into our comment section, we read all that. And, it, you know, we don't get paid for these articles. It's a lot to do this. And really that's our reward, basically, is to be able to talk to you. I've met so many people all over the world because of this page. I got to ride with a club in Iceland because of this page. That was pretty fucking awesome.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, Miklo, we're going to get you on. Hope you're listening.
Not that other one.
Not the other one.
So you're aware. I ain't forgot about that shit either. I ain't gonna bring that? It up.
Easy, killer. Oh, easy.
I'm cleaning my nails. My bad. I ain't gonna bring it up, but
no, that's
fuck that dude.
That's old news. No, this guy's from Iceland. He's part of a club out there, an Icelandic motorcycle club. Who knew? And these guys are hard chargers. They're the real deal. I love these guys. They let me borrow a bike, and we're riding all over Iceland. Looking at all the hot springs. I mean, it's straight out of a Led Zeppelin song. It was fucking awesome.
Did they give you heated gear?
No, I froze my ass off. Even though it was summer there. It was August, and it's still kind of cool.
Best thing I was ever fucking told to do. And it was as I was still a guest. And I knew a man in my club on the...
So you know a guy.
I know a guy. Yeah. We were stationed together. And he told me, he's like, yeah, dude. He's like, you're going to want these. I was like, yeah. I was like, let's be honest, man. Like, how cold is it get? They still ride. He's just like, yes, snow and ice is the only thing that stops them. So if there's none of that on the ground, you're going to ride. I was like, well, fuck.
Same way.
So, yeah, I invested quickly in some heated gear.
Do make exceptions for salt on the road for our northern brothers.
Yes.
The Joycey boys.
The Joycey boys.
Once that salt hits, that'll fuck up your bike, man.
Yep. But, you know, but that's also, it's also not like a dick measuring contest or anything like that. Like, ride your fucking ride, dude. You got to be comfortable.
They get the miles in, trust me.
You know, but that's good to do this again.
Yeah, so you can tell we're getting back into it. It's what? When's the last one that we did? A year ago?
Been a minute. I know I haven't been on one in a while.
No.
The German motorcycle culture is... almost a year ago, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a year.
Okay.
So we said, because we get a lot of people coming to us saying, hey, when are you going to do the podcast again? There's more people that know about the podcast than about the Facebook page.
But so follow the Facebook page, damn it.
We get a lot of people, and so I've been telling them we're going to try and get back to it this year. You know, we had some personnel changes, that kind of stuff. But we are, and this is the first one to get back into it. We're going to try and do others.
And we have an appointment, him and I. Next week, he's coming to my fucking house. We're going to be sitting right the fuck here, and we're doing another one. Promise. We're going to get back at it. Because you guys are awesome, and I will leave with this. I remember when I asked why, when I was asked why I want to be part of that motorcycle club, I said, well, for a couple of reasons, and my first one is accountability. Because I will let shit go. I will let shit
because
pass.
Because you're a shady motherfucker.
I'm a fucking piece of shit.
I didn't say that. I said shady.
But, no, that was a self-assessment, right? It goes back to what I was saying.
Full circle, folks. You saw it.
Yeah, motherfuckers. So, but no, I need that accountability. Because I can absolutely, especially when I'm feeling down, that bike will sit in that fucking garage and it won't start. I'll hook it up to a tender and that's about it. But I have my, at the time they were my prospective brothers and my brothers. Now it's like, dude, I'm going to the store. It's like, hey, you know what? I could fit this shit in my saddlebag. Why am I taking my car? I need to ride my motorcycle. I'm in a motorcycle club, not a car club. I'm not part of a truck club. I'm in a motorcycle club. I need to ride my motorcycle. Don't get me wrong. If it's fucking pissing rain and I'm on my way to work, that fucking Volkswagen's getting fired up, baby. I got heated seats in that hoe. I'll make the payment. I'm going to use it. But
you know the hard ass is going to come in on the comments.
That's fine. Let him. Let him. I don't see that motherfucker making my car payment. You know what I mean? He wants to make my car payment. He can talk all that shit. But it's accountability. And that goes to, you know, that goes to all y'all out there in listener land, you know, holding us accountable through the questions. I don't think anybody's really talked shit. It was just like, hey, man, like, when's the next one? Well, nobody's talked shit to me. It's probably because they know that I cry. Thank you. But I'm so sorry. But
we'll get more out. Don't worry.
But yeah, so that was the point I was trying to make. I'm rambling. I'm also like drinking. So fucking.
You got anything to say before we go?
Cool.
Yeah, if you have topics, things you want, simmer down now. If you have topics that you want to talk about, if you got people that you want us to interview, talk with, whatever, man. This is a kind of an open forum. We do have to edit shit out whenever, you know, he starts talking shit. But other than that.
Hey, you were the one I have to edit out this time.
This time.
Which is shocking because it's typically me or Dave.
Yeah. Speaking of which, if anybody's ever seen a guy named Dave, he used to write for us.
Damn.
Great guy. I kind of forgot what he looks like, but if you happen to see him somewhere out in the road, you know, tell him to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from him.
I'm no police officer, but I'm pretty sure those are shots fired. So, thanks. We'll see you next week.